I have a question for you. What is your theological understanding of Christmas? I'm not talking about the pagan holiday that has replaced the observance of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We all know about that. I'm talking about the biblical account of the life-changing event, God with us. What is your theological understanding of that? If your theological understanding is based on some of our beloved Christmas carols, then Mary was gentle and cattle were lowing. And the newborn baby never cried. Bethlehem was quiet. Everything was calm. Stars were brightly shining. And animals were bowing down at their feeding trough as a light came from the manger, from the face of the baby. Now, I don't mean to sound cynical. Believe me, I'm not. I love those carols. I love the fact that they honor the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. But things were not always as they seemed. At the time of Christ's birth, there were a number of things that one would never think should happen at the coming of the Son of God. For instance, there was scandal. Yes, scandal over an unwed pregnant teenager. There were occupying soldiers in the streets of the towns, and they were beating people into submission, and they were demanding outrageous taxes. There was a wide expectation that Almighty God was going to come and he was going to redeem the situation with a military force, if necessary, that would even make the Romans shudder. And we also read about not one, but two pregnant women who were not supposed to be pregnant. One of them was too old, and one of them was a virgin. But when they came together and they talked about all of it, we are told that both of them rejoiced. That's totally unexpected. That's kind of weird, if you ask me. Like other people in this story, they probably should have been frightened, or they should have been worried, or they should have been complaining about the situation, but they were happy about it. Elizabeth said to Mary, "Blessed are you among women." And Mary said, "Oh, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." That's weird. And while all this was happening, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, the priest, was struck mute. He was the voice of the Christian establishment at that time in their little town of Icarim. But now he can't say a word. And this happened because of his doubt and his disbelief when an angel told him that his old wife Elizabeth was going to get pregnant. Zechariah moved from being a spiritual big shot to being a candidate in a nursing home. It was totally weird, totally unexpected. Things were just upside down. They're not what they were supposed to be. And they were also not what they seemed to be. Mary doesn't help the situation very much because she decided to sing a very unlikely song. In a world where the rich and strong were pushing down the lowly and the poor, Mary sings about God's lifting up the lowly. And she sings about God feeding the hungry good things and sending the rich away, empty. Things were weird. But things were not what they seemed to be. Now, I cannot help but compare all of that with the climate of today. We are surrounded by scandals. Yes, did you know that? There are scandals everywhere, it seems. And the rich are becoming richer, while the poor are becoming poorer. And there is an outcry for equality. There are debates and there are arguments about the fairness of our tax system. There are threats of yet another civil war in this country. And there are those who think that we are entering the end times and that Jesus is going to make his final appearance in our lifetime and redeem the situation. Things today are weird. But things today are not always what they seem to be. As we prepare once again to celebrate this really very special time of the year, the time of Christmas, the time of the Christ of Christmas, are we going to be filled with doubts and be speechless like Zechariah was? Or are we going to celebrate God's work in us and through us and around us the way Mary and Elizabeth did? It all depends. It all depends on how you respond to what you see and hear going on around us versus what you know within you, which is God within us, Emmanuel. So it depends. What is your worldview today? Do things look bright? Or do things look gloomy? If they do look bright, is it only because of the beautiful decorations that you see all around you this time of year? Or is it because of Emmanuel, whom you enjoy this time of year? If things look gloomy to you, is it because of uncertainties that you face in your life? Or is it possibly because you have distanced yourself somehow from God? Things are not always what they seem, but God is at work. God is behind it all. And even better than that, God is ahead of it all. You should join Mary, and you should say, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I want to share with you a story about an American pastor by the name of Edmund Hamilton Sears. He lived in the first half of the 1800s. That was also a very troubled time. You see, the California Gold Rush was underway, and it disrupted the lives of countless men in America, husbands and fathers who left their families and went west because of the gold. They gave it a name, gold fever. And what started out as financial euphoria quickly turned to financial depression. Gold mining was very physically difficult also, and it was devastating for many of the men who got involved with it. They aged prematurely. Young men's hair began to turn gray, young men. And their teeth started falling out. Their backs were left with painful and permanent conditions because of working in the mines where they were not ready to do that, to do so. And many of them developed skin conditions because they were overexposed to the California sun. Things were weird. And Pastor Sears was deeply troubled by what he was seeing. Now, that was in the West. In another part of the country, especially in the Northeast, the Industrial Revolution was underway, and it was causing a rise of the middle class in America because many people were moving from their rural homes into the cities to work. But a great recession came. Women were told to stay home, raise the children, and take care of the farms, and men discovered that they had to work 10 and 12-hour days for 10 to 40% less income than they were used to and which they determined was needed for a decent level of living in America at that time. Child labor became prevalent. And childhood education suffered greatly. Things were weird. And Pastor Edmund Sears was deeply troubled. That was the East, the North. In yet another part of the country, there were extreme tensions rising over the subject of slavery. There was talk of war, and there were those who denied that it would ever happen, but of course it did, and one of the worst wars in America's history broke out and exploded everywhere. Things were weird. And Pastor Edmund Sears was greatly, greatly troubled by what he saw. And in that environment, he wrote a poem. Its title is Calm on the Listening Ear. It talked about a heavenly peace that was revealed to some shepherds in Bethlehem. And the first verse of his poem reads like this. Calm on the listening ear of night come heaven's melodious strains, where wild Judea stretches forth her silver-mantled plains. Celestial choirs from courts above shed sacred glories there, and angels with their sparkling eyes make music on the air. About 12 years later, in the year 1849, during a period of tremendous upheaval in our country, Reverend Sears rediscovered that poem in a box. And he pulled it out and he read it, and he decided to revise it. And so 12 years later, this is how that verse came out. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, good will to men from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. He submitted his poem to the Christian Register, and they published it in December of 1849, and a musician by the name of Richard Willis, who had studied music in Europe under Felix Mendelssohn, saw the poem, loved it, set it to music, and it became one of our favorite Christmas carols, and it's been sung by Christians all over the world for 1.5 centuries. But things are not always as they seem. While this carol is filled with positive words and expressions, Pastor Sears was actually responding to all of the problems that he saw and the challenges he saw in the world around him. For instance, this is verse 2. Still, through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wings, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. Now, there are some good words in there. But there are some words in there that feel like they could have been written in 2020 rather than 1849. Words like weary and sad and lowly. And if there were ever a time in our history where we are overwhelmed by Babel sounds, it's been this year. A year when everything seemed so weird. Reverend Sears began verse 3 by addressing a large group of people in 1849. And I think a large group of people in 2020 feel exactly the same way. He wrote, "And ye, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil among the climbing way with painful steps and slow." And then he reminds the listeners that things are not always as they seem. In the midst of all these negatives, there's always God's positives. He wrote, "Look now, look, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing." That's a great message for us as we enter into this particular season of Advent this year. We need to hear the angels sing. Now, here is a verse of this carol that is not included in our hymnals today. And this verse reveals even more about what was going on in Reverend Sears' mind. And it says this, "But with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man, at war with man, hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing." We all need to hear the angels sing again, because things are weird. But they are not always what they seem. By the way, in keeping with that thought, you should know that Reverend Edmund Sears was the pastor of a Unitarian church in Wayland, Massachusetts. Now, in case someone here does not know about Unitarians, they are not Orthodox Christians. Here's what someone wrote about Unitarians. "Unitarians do maintain that Jesus was a great man and a prophet of God, perhaps even a supernatural being, but not God himself. They believe Jesus did not claim to be God and that his teachings did not suggest the existence of a triune God. A Unitarian pastor wrote the words to It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." And as you go through this hymn, you will discover that it fails to mention God. It fails to mention Jesus. It fails to mention Christ. But before you throw it out into the trash, let me add this. Things are not always what they seem. You see, Reverend Edmund Sears did believe in Jesus Christ. He was a committed Christian, laboring among non-Christians. He believed that Jesus Christ was God's Son, Emmanuel. And he preached the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ from a Unitarian pulpit, where it would have been awkward to proclaim outwardly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the same way that many missionaries tell us as they serve in certain countries of the world where Christians are hated and maybe even persecuted, how these missionaries seek to show the reality of God's only Son by what they do. Even more than by what they say, because what they do speaks volumes. And you and I face exactly the same challenge right here, right now, in Howard County, in Maryland, in the United States of America. As we enter into this season of Advent, non-believers are watching you. How you observe this special season of the year speaks volumes to them. Some of those non-believers are well described by Reverend Sears. He says they are bending low under the crushing load. He said they are toiling and climbing with painful steps and slow. And he says their ears are not tuned at all to be able to hear the angels sing. They cannot join Elizabeth and Mary and rejoice as we rejoice, when all around them all they see is sadness and confusion and babble sounds and weirdness. Our calling, brothers and sisters, is to live by example, the truth that Reverend Sears preached through this hymn. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets told of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and the new earth shall own the Prince of Peace, their King, and the whole world will send back the song which now the angels sing. Whew! Makes me want to dance, and I'm not a dancer. Even if Reverend Sears did not believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm not suggesting that he did not, but if he did not, he still gave those of us who do believe in Jesus Christ the ability to see our Lord in this hymn, God's blessed Prince of Peace, the King. So, where does this leave us? It leaves us still living in a world where many things are not always what they seem. A world where God is working his perfect plan in such a way that the new heaven and the new earth will come, just as he promised. It leaves us as missionaries in a place where God has put you right here, living for his glory at a time when so many people refuse to even see it. It leaves us in a place of trust, knowing that things are not always as they seem. It leaves us trusting in the providence of Almighty God, Emmanuel, God with us. So, brothers and sisters, what on earth is God doing in our world today? During this weird year of 2020, I want to suggest that things are not always as they seem. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you can see what we cannot. You can hear what we cannot. You can feel our feelings. You knew that we would live this day, this year, this month, this hour, this very minute, before we were ever born. And Lord, you still send choirs of angels to sing hope, resurrection, life in us, just as you did in Elizabeth and Mary. So, Father, help us enter this season of strangeness with a certainty that you are in control and we are in your hands. Blessed be your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said together, Amen.